the left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla to the left circle. Passing to Yell. A shot. Save made by Al. Aguilla. Rebound. Another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts.
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers.
Well, it's been a long time. Long time no speak, friends. Welcome to Flames Talk on this Monday, August 12th. After exactly a one-month hiatus, we're back and ready to rock. Steinberg from our Groundworks downtown studio. Aaron Vickers from NHL.com across the way from me as well. Welcome back. Welcome back to Flames Talk. Welcome everybody back to Flames Talk on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, and wherever you get your podcasts. How we doing?
You sound like you haven't skipped a beat, buddy. Are you refreshed, relaxed? Oh, I can see you're tanned and ready to go. What's the vibes?
I am like full-on refreshed, ready to rock, had a great time abroad, ready to be back. Good. We got a little limited time engagement Flames Talk for the next couple of weeks. We'll take our final hiatus until after Labor Day. And then once we're back after Labor Day, we are nose to the grindstone for the 24-25 season. Penticton, the preseason, and the regular season starts in October. It is upon us, my friend. So we're into the final dog days of summer when it comes to the NHL offseason.
Incredible how slow and how fast at the same time the summer seems to move along. Like, we're talking about less than, what, 4 weeks from Penticton kicking off, and then that rolls immediately into training camp, which immediately rolls into the regular season. It's a long off season and a short off season at the same time. Probably a little bit shorter for you, because I imagine the hours and the days click by when you're just sitting on the beach enjoying a little bit of Pat Steinberg time.
It was some good Pat time. I enjoyed myself. By the way, welcome to the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. When it comes to your business, knowing your property secure is better than wondering who's getting in. Get peace of mind at CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. So our last show before we went on hiatus was July 12th. And here we are on August 12th, and we're back ready to rock. And we have been gone for a month, so I figured first show back, we might as well dive into what we missed. Flames did make a couple of news items announce a couple of news items on this Monday. Adam Klapka, Jan Kuznetsov both sign one-year deals at $775,000. So that got made official on Monday. A few more of Calgary's RFAs are off the board. We'll get into that a little bit later on this hour. But let's hit on a couple of the things, because really there were two main news items that got taken care of while Flames Talk was off. Just before we left, the Flames signed their three prospects to entry-level deals. Stampede week, they signed Zane Parekh, Matvei Gridin, and Etienne Morin to entry-level deals. But the big ones that have happened since we've been gone, Dustin Wolf signed his deal, and Oliver Shillington's fate was determined as he signed with Colorado. Let's maybe start with Wolf, who signed a two-year extension on July 30th, $850,000 on the AAV, two-way in year one, and then a one-way deal in year two. And I, as I saw that news come down, and I saw the contract terms, my first reaction was that's a nice deal for the Flames. I didn't necessarily expect them to be able to get the AAV where it was under a mil and get a two-way deal in year one. I thought that was some pretty tidy work by Craig Conroy on Dustin's second NHL contract. I thought that ended up being a really solid deal for the Flames. Not to say it's bad or anything for Dustin. I thought maybe the Wolf camp would have a little bit of leverage to get themselves a one-way the entire way through, or maybe get that AAV a little bit higher. So $850,000. And two-way for the first half of the two-year deal. I thought that was a really, really solid deal from the Flames in getting Wolf under contract.
Yeah, and for me, I don't think it was going to be a situation, or I didn't expect anyway, that it was going to be a seven-digit contract. To your point, the surprising thing for me is that it wasn't a one-way both years. But again, for everything that Dustin Wolf has accomplished, and we've run through them a lot, whether it be WHL Goalie of the Year, CHL Goalie of the Year, two-time American Hockey League Goalie of the Year, AHL MVP. There's still not a lot of leverage when you get to the NHL level. And so seeing a two-year contract, I think that term fits both the organization and the player himself, because this isn't, to me, a situation where 2 years down the road, Dustin Wolf is a bona fide top 10 goalie in the NHL. I know the hope is that he can develop into a regular starting goalie and develops into a pure starting goalie as opposed to a 1A, 1B kind of tandem goaltender. But seeing a two-year contract at $850,000 per year was kind of in the ballpark, especially with what we saw from like Seelovs in Vancouver and a couple other goaltenders that are in sort of that upper echelon prospect range, but haven't necessarily seized a full-time role in the NHL. The ballpark was there for Dustin Wolf. I was actually curious as to whether or not we'd see a three-year deal that did bump the AAV up into that
right
1.25-ish range, knowing that in theory, if everything goes right, he is your goaltender of the future. But seeing a two-year deal at $850,000 wasn't surprising. The only thing that I kind of raised an eyebrow at is that the Calgary Flames still somehow got a two-way deal out of that first year of the contract.
Well, and I think that there were a few things as I, since being back, have kind of just checked in and talked to a couple of people about this deal in particular. So the Seelovs deal is very much a comparable. I also think the Lucas Dostal or
Dostal.
Is it Dostal? Is that how we're going?
It depends on if you're in Prague for the World Championship or if you're in Anaheim for a regular season.
So Dostal when he's over here?
Yeah.
Okay. So Anaheim is number two goalie behind John Gibson. Or maybe the number one.
Yeah.
But Dostal signed basically the exact same deal last summer, too. A little bit less on the AAV. I believe his was $812,500. But same thing.
Right.
Two-way year one, one-way year two, same age. Seelovs, same age, $850,000. The only Seelovs is one-way both years, right? Believe he's a one-way for both years.
I believe that's right.
And he's got a little bit more experience, obviously, with what happened in the playoffs this year. And probably helped that a little bit,
and he had that massive world championship for Latvia helping him to bronze. So that doesn't necessarily factor in, but it certainly helps pad the resume when you're able to 100% elevate your game in something like that. Yeah,
but the Flames had a little bit of leverage in terms of I know they had a couple of comparables that they were able to use with the Wolf camp and say, well, this guy's similar age. He has the two-way in year one. I think... Dostal's a pretty good comparable. I know they had a few other comparables that they were able to use in the negotiation process. So they got that done. And I also know the Flames are pretty stoked about the fact that the two-way exists for Wolf this year, because they want to light a fire. Not that this guy needs to have a fire lit under him, as cool and very stoic as Dustin is in the public eye and pretty soft-spoken. The guy has got a competitive fire that doesn't need to be stoked, but they want to do everything in their power to have Dustin at peak motivation for this year, because they want best case scenario for the Flames, with no disrespect to Dan Vladar or Devin Cooley. Best case scenario is that Dustin Wolf comes into camp with a two-way deal and absolutely, by his play, demands to be the opening night starter, demands to be on the roster, and demands to be the number one guy. That is best case scenario for the Flames, is that's how good Wolf looks in training camp and the preseason and to start the year. So I know that they're pretty happy about the fact that two-way exists and maybe just bumps up the competitiveness that much more.
Well, yeah, and as you mentioned, I don't think it's going to be the driving motivating factor behind Dustin Wolf, but when you're in a situation where your NHL money is $850,000, and I don't think the release said what the AHL salary would be if he spent some time with the Wranglers, but it's going to be significantly less. So if you're just looking at it from, all right, let's talk about, okay, he wants to be an NHL goalie, he wants to be on the highest stage, he wants to travel.
To 275. That's thanks to Puckpedia, who has those
perfect details. So that's a pretty big swing on the old Dustin Wolf.
Okay. Both is good money, don't get me wrong. But
if you're getting paid every 2 weeks, I'd rather have it prorated at $850,000 than somewhere around $200,000. I'm not going to lie. So if you ever needed just that little extra carrot, and yeah, I believe firmly that the organization thinks the best case scenario is Dustin Wolf comes into camp, absolutely, you know, snags one of those top two jobs, but then still finds a way to command the crease for 40-ish starts a year. It just so happens that if you don't, not that the Flames need the wiggle room, they certainly don't, but it just gives you that extra little carrot to dangle in front of Dustin Wolf in order to make sure that everything is on par when training camp
And that's what I think that's important. Like, because we still don't know what Dustin Wolf is.
Not at all.
At the NHL level. And we still, he has, to me, everything I've seen from Wolf at the highest level, he belongs in the NHL. But to what extent or at what level does he belong? To me, he does not look out of place. To me, the NHL is the league that is where he should be. But is he a number two? Is he a tandem guy? Or is he a number one? And that's what we still have to determine. And obviously, I think you and I think very highly of the young man.
Yep.
I think that there is absolutely a high potential of him being a number one caliber goaltender in this league. But until you see it, what does Kevin Woodley tell us all the time? Until you see it, you don't know. Until it happens and you prove that you can do it season over season for 45 to 60 games, you don't know. So he has proven to me that the NHL is where he belongs, but now this is the season where he's going to have it in front of him to start to write the story as to what he is at the highest level.
Here's about the only thing I think that we see differently in Dustin Wolf. I don't definitively say that I see him in the NHL. What I do say is I certainly don't see him in the AHL. He's too good for the American Hockey League. And he's done it for too long at that level, right, at that age, that he has no business being an American Hockey League goaltender at this point. But there's still that gap between AHL and NHL. And I've liked what I've seen out of him in his brief stints in the NHL. And I give him a lot of credit, and I don't really look so much to his early season performances at the NHL level, because it's hard going from the American League up to the NHL, then back to the American League, and then up to the NHL, and getting kind of spot started a little bit the way he did. He did have a little run of games, but it wasn't significant. So I point more to, funny enough, because it's, well, the Calgary Flames weren't playing for anything at that point, and you stripped away four or five key pieces from that roster. But I almost read more into what he did down the stretch when, granted, there probably wasn't a lot of pressure on the Flames, but there certainly was still pressure on Dustin Wolf. So I expect him to be in the NHL. But the only thing is I can't say he definitively, that's the level he needs to play at. He's just too good for the American League.
All I know is that in the very limited work that we've seen Dustin in the NHL, he has looked like he belongs. At no point I've ever
He hasn't looked like he's not an NHL.
Right, like it's, and yes, there have been, and many people, many Wolf detractors will point out every time, I see it on our text line when you're watching a game and a puck goes in high on Wolf. And people, I told you, it's too small. It's too small. But as many have pointed out, as Jordan Sigalet has said on this program, the director of goaltenders, like, yeah, okay, sometimes that'll happen. But how many? Nobody seems to talk about how many of the down low pucks that he stops at other goalies
or the East West plays where he goes from one post to the other and is able to get a toe on it the other way with his agility,
or the shots that look routine from good shooting spots that he makes a stop on that a lot of other goalies wouldn't because he's already anticipated it. Like he made shots from the circles look pretty routine from good shooters in this league because he reads the play so well and his IQ is so high. So I guess long story short, he has looked like the NHL is not too much for him in the very limited 17 appearances he's made. That's not a lot of hockey. But in those 17 appearances, he's looked like the NHL is where he belongs. But again, to your point, he still has to prove that that's where he belongs in the long term and then has to determine to what level he belongs in the NHL.
Yeah, and like by no means am I saying that he can't be an NHL goalie, but the 17-game sample size hasn't been massive. But I fully expect him to be an NHL goalie this year. And again, whatever happens in the 24-25 season, that does not define Dustin Wolf either. We're talking about a position that is voodoo. Yeah. He's only 23 years old, doesn't turn 24 till next April. Regardless of how 24-25 goes, I'm not comfortable making a definitive statement whether or not, oh, he's 1A or he's going to be a top 10 goalie or he's simply a quad A type goaltender.
Well, and I mean, look at other goalies who have kind of ridden the roller coaster earlier in their career. I mean, take a look at the ups and downs for John Gibson before he determined that, hey, yeah, you're a number one in the NHL. Or Carey Price had those ups and downs. And I'm not saying that Wolf's going to be either of those guys, or like, I'm not trying to make comparisons. I'm just saying that it takes time to establish yourself and be a consistent hit. Outgoing Jacob Markstrom took a long time to get to the point where he was playing 40 plus games a year, because you have to establish yourself and all of what goes along with it.
Well, and I think a fair asterisk to this conversation is we don't necessarily know what the Calgary Flames are going to look like when they hit the ice. We don't know whether they're going to be a number 9 seed in the West. We don't know if they're going to be a top 3 lottery pick, and particularly when you look at the defense and how that's going to come together. So for myself, I don't know how you're going to look at it, but I don't care what the numbers look like on Dustin Wolf this year. What I care is the eye test and some of those other maybe underlying metrics
that you can dig into.
You want to hear Kevin Woodley
exactly.
go into
exactly. I want yeah. I want to hear what Woodley has
I'm not
to
worried
say.
About goals against average, and to a lesser degree, I'm not too concerned with save percentage either, because there's an element of save percentage that can be deceiving.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, there's so much unknown about, I don't know how Dan Vladar is going to look coming off major hip surgery. We all believe that the major hip surgery is going to be good for Dan in the long run, but how long until he gets there? Is it October or is it January? And Wolf's got to adjust to being full-time in the NHL. Devin Cooley factors into this conversation and where he's going to be. Like, goaltending is completely up in the air, and now there's just a little bit more clarity with all three guys being under contract, and Wolf's got his deal. So a few texts on Dustin Wolf before we move to the other thing, the other big story in Flames land that happened while we were gone. It's Flames Talk, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Steinberg with Aaron Vickers. Thanks for being back with us on Flames Talk on this Monday. This reads, takes time to adjust to a different speed, too. There's lots of reasons for optimism with Wolf. I agree. And our buddy Dylan in Revelstoke says, I'm happy to hear rational takes on Wolf from you guys. Fans have been ridiculous about it. It's almost like either he's the next Patrick Waugh or he's not even a backup and there's no in between. I do find some of the, especially on the latter, I find some of the, no, Wolf's too small to play in this league and he'll never be an NHL goaltender. I do find those takes strange, seeing as how he is an above 500 goaltender in the NHL. I get it. It's 18, 17 games or whatever it is, but he's an 8-7-1 career NHL. You don't get to 8-7-1 in the hardest, best league in the world without being able to have some semblance of ability to play in the NHL.
I like to think that I am slightly taller than Dustin Wolf. I'm not going 8-7-1 in the NHL. I can guarantee you that. I'm getting lit up. And
lots of really good goals. Go look at our buddy Cronner's career save percentage in the NHL.
Oh, poor guy. He's not even here.
But I'm just saying, Cronner's a first-round pick.
Yep.
And I know it didn't work out, and we make all the jokes, but you just, lots of really good goaltending. Brian Finley was a 6th overall selection. Didn't have doesn't have an above 500 record in the NHL. Like, is Dustin Wolf a guaranteed Vezina Trophy winner? I have no idea. But can he play in the NHL and succeed in the NHL? The answer is already yes, because he has.
There's not a non-nil chance that he can go on and play 100 to 150 to 200 games as a minimum as a goaltender in the NHL. You can't go and... It's not an absolute. Just like you're not saying it's an absolute that he's a lock for a Hall of Fame and a Vezina and a Conn Smythe and he's going to hoist the Stanley Cup. But you can't sit here and look at the body of work that he's done at various levels and succeeded when he was too small and then gets to the NHL and still posts okay numbers.
Well, it's not like they're not forcing him. They're not putting him in NHL games because they're forcing it down our throats. They're putting him in NHL games because he's earned that to this point, and his performance in the NHL, he's earned more time at this level. So, and this says 6 feet's not too small. A lot of the elite guys through the years have been his size. And obviously, goaltending in this league has trended larger, taller over the last decade. But whether it's Jonathan Quick or Tim Thomas, there's two names that... And obviously, we talk a lot about UC Saros right now. But Quick and Thomas are really good examples, too, of quote-unquote undersized goalies who have had all kinds of success over the last 10 years in this league.
The best goalie in the 2025 NHL draft, 5'11".
See?
You just happened to win gold with Canada up in Edmonton 2 days ago.
Okay, so The other thing that we saw while Flames Talk was in a hiatus was kind of the conclusion of the Oliver Shillington story in Calgary. It's been a little bit more than a decade since...
Why would you say it like that? That's a long time. You're just aging us at that point.
A little bit more than a decade since he's been drafted.
No, it's 2015.
Was it 2015? Sorry, I was thinking 2015. So a little less than a decade since he's been drafted. Yes.
Still, doesn't make me feel any younger.
2014 was the Bennett year. 2015, drafted in the second round. And so we found out about Oliver's future with the Flames, a future that doesn't exist. Signed a one-year deal with Colorado at $1.05 million exactly 1 week ago last Monday. So how did it get to this point is what everybody's asking. Why did these two sides get divorced? Why isn't Oliver Shillington back as a member of the Flames with how good a feel-good story it was last year? We gave you that, gave you a little bit of intel before we hit hiatus, and just to refresh, it's still up on the podcast feed if you want to go back and listen, but this is kind of what led up to them not having a deal through the first weeks of free agency and it taking until early August for him to get a deal in Colorado. My understanding is the Shillington camp, as everybody does, kind of reading the tea leaves and doing their due diligence, the Shillington camp believed that they had a multi-year deal with another team heading into July 1st. They believed that multi-year deal was going to get done, and they were going on that assumption. That multi-year deal fell through. I think it was because of a trade, but I haven't been able to source it exactly, but I think it was because of a trade that another team made that the Shillington deal with that team fell through. All of a sudden, that happened like the eve of free agency. The Flames already had Jake Bean in their pocket, who was one of their comparable guys. I believe the Flames had two or three comparables that they were ready to sign if it didn't end up working out with Shillington. July 1st hits. Shillington was going to market, and they signed Jake Bean to the deal. They signed him. That was one of their comparables. You can see it. Same shot, same age, same role. So they go out, they sign Jake Bean, and that kind of closed the door on Shillington. I believe the Flames had a one-year deal on the table for him leading up to free agency for more than what he ended up signing with in Colorado. But again, the Shillington camp believed there was a multi-year deal elsewhere, and we're kind of leaning towards that, and it fell through. And then the timing just wasn't there. The Flames had already signed Bean, and I also think there was some hurt feelings and some... It was somewhat acrimonious, so it was hard to go back once the Flames had signed Bean and once Shillington's multi-year deal didn't end up hitting. And then he waits for a month, and he signs the 1 year in Colorado. I love the fit for Shillington. I think it's a really nice deal for Colorado. I think Toronto was interested in Oliver, but you can understand why with the Treliving connection with the Maple Leafs. That's kind of where we are. Oliver Shillington is officially no longer a member of the Calgary Flames, is a member of the Colorado Avalanche on a one-year deal. What a bizarre saga that was, from him winning Calgary's nomination for the Masterton, being a finalist at the NHL Awards, to being where we are in August, and he's a member of the Colorado Avalanche.
It really felt the moment that the... I don't know, how quickly does ink dry? It's instant now at this point, I guess, so the phrase doesn't work anymore. But as soon as the ink was dry on that Jake Bean deal, the tenure of Oliver Shillington in Calgary probably also came to an end. And I'm like you, like, I really like this fit for Shillington. Is the money probably what he was expecting or hoped going into free agency? I can't see how it was. But at the same time, what better sort of one-year show-me situation is going to be better for Oliver Shillington than playing on a powerhouse team like the Colorado Avalanche? So I think in the end, and when you look back on this 5 years from now, if there's some disappointment from the Shillington camp on how things have gone, if he plays the way that we saw him play a few seasons ago, if he's ready to get back up to speed in that sense, and he might be a little bit further down the depth chart in Colorado than he would have been in Calgary this year, but there's still ample opportunity for him to make the most of the situation and parlay a one-year deal into significantly more when he goes through the process again, 320-ish days from now.
Well, I mean, take a look at your left side potentially Taves, Girard, and Shillington, three of the best skaters, skating defensemen in the NHL.
And then on the right side,
oh, that Cale Makar guy.
You've got literally the best skating defenseman. I don't know if Vancouver Maybe Canucks fans will get a little excited about that, but Cale Makar's elite.
He might be the best skating defenseman in 40 years, 50 years since number
Bobby
four
Orr
in Boston. Yeah. It's pretty
probably a fair assessment.
Pretty I mean, good.
I can't
pretty
say I skater. Can't say I scouted Bobby Orr back in the day, but
FC Hockey wasn't
no, it wasn't on the radar. Sorry, John Tavares was the first year we kind of got on
okay.
board. But yeah, like that's a pretty soft landing for Oliver Shillington, I would say.
And I mean, I know there have been some who have criticized the Flames for why didn't they go longer. I think where Calgary was they felt like, hey, we just went through this 2 years. We were so happy to have him back. Let's go on a 1 year deal. Let's see how it goes. And we're ready to go longer midway through
the season.
But let's see how it goes. Let's see how Oliver likes it. Let's see how he's fitting with a full training camp and a full year with this coaching staff and under Huska, so on and so forth. And we're prepared to do this 1 year deal. And again, I believe it was more than 1.05 that was on the table. So, hey, here's our 1 year deal. And you're fully within your rights to go and chase a multi-year deal elsewhere. We have got contingency plans in our ready to go, whether it be Jake Bean or somebody else they might have had under their hat. So that's where the Flames are coming from, is that they felt like with the 2 years that happened, and him only playing the few months on that 2 year deal, let's sign a 1 year deal, see how it goes. But we're ready to sign him long term if come January, February, this starts to become a really nice fit. And look, I don't blame the Shillington camp for looking for that multi year deal.
Not at all. You'd want some security for your client.
And if you really, and I honestly believe that, and JP Barrie's the representation, it's one of the most hooked in agents in the league. I think that they were very confident that multi-year deal happened before kind of something unexpected happened and it fell apart. And that's where things got a little bit more in the ether with them.
I just wish them the best. I wish them nothing but success with the Colorado Avalanche. Again, I think it's a great fit. And there's something to be said about having a fresh start with a new organization as well. So I look forward to when Colorado comes through, look forward to talking to Oliver Shillington again. And I hope he has a really good sort of rebound season.
Yeah. Okay. Few texts at 960. This says, guys, who is the team that it was going to sign with in free agency on the multi-year deal? I haven't double sourced it, and I don't like to throw things
right out.
I know there was a team. I've heard a couple rumors as to who that team was, but unless I've got it sourced from a couple different places, I'm not going to.
Some journalistic integrity from Pat Steinberger right there.
I try once in a while, even though I'm not a journalist.
Reporting then. We'll go that way.
That's fair. Dylan says the Flames have Parekh, Brstevich, Muse, and Poirier in the system. Shillington and his offense-first mindset doesn't fit the long term of this team. It's a crappy way to do business on the part of him and his agency, but I just find it really hard to care. We've got to stop being upset when potential mediocrity leaves the team.
I don't think he or his agent did anything wrong. If you think you have an opportunity to get more for your client and more security long-term, by all means, and just to the point of Parekh, Brstevich, Muse, Poirier, they're in the system. They're not on the roster. There's a big difference there. Until you're on the roster, you're not there.
Parekh's going to start the year in the NHL.
You think?
Wes and I had a fun conversation about that before we hit the hiatus. I was like, what? Why not? Like, just give him 9 games. Like, even have that written in pen that he's going to get 9 games to start the year. And Wes was so vehemently against it that I really doubled down on it. So that's what that
I'm going to bring that up to him. But to your point, okay, if it's a 1 year deal or a 2 year deal with the Flames, that's not blocking Parekh. That's not blocking Muse. It's not going to block Poirier. So in terms of your timelines, Shillington still could have fit a little bit of what they were doing here.
This from Darren and Mackenzie Lake. Very thankful that Connie stuck to his guns and didn't play nice guy and give him another opportunity to come back. We made you an offer. You chose to walk away from it. Offer. And, I couldn't understand the last bit of it because voice to text sometimes screws it up, but I understand the gist of it, Darren. And I think the Flames, I don't have a problem with the way the Flames handled it either. They were ready to do this 1 year deal. They also had contingency plans ready to go. It didn't work out. They went with their contingency plan. They couldn't wait. They could
right.
Like,
you can't
free agency
sit around.
Was open. They and Jake Bean was not only willing to sign, but here's the other thing that's really important on the Bean front. During this transition period for the Flames, guys who want to be here and are like eager to be in Calgary, that's a huge part of this as well in building a culture and all that type of stuff. This has got the potential to be a few lean years with this team as they move towards the opening of the building. You want guys who are eager to be here and buying into the plan. And Jake Bean, Ryan Lomberg, those guys fit that bill to such a high degree that they're important parts of this too. And so you have a guy like Bean who is eager to sign here and wants to play for his hometown. Well, yeah, you can't wait on that. So you make the signing and you have to move on from Shillington at that point if you're the Flames.
The clock ticks at noon on July 1, and if you don't have a plan and if you don't have a backup plan for your plan and if you don't have a third plan to go with it, you're going to be sitting there twiddling your thumbs and suddenly you're going to get to about 5 o'clock and have had nothing done and still have those holes in the organization that you wanted to fill mm-hmm. on short-term deals with free agency. Again, I understand it from the Shillington camp and what you thought you had, but I also understand it from the Conroy camp. And okay, if we don't have this right now, we're going this way. And that's what happened.
A couple more texts on Shillington says, Shilly doesn't deserve to be booed when he returns, but I don't think he's earned a big standing O by any means either. Could have been an important player in the organization, but he bailed. Off he goes. And TJ in Cranston says, guys, love the show. I think this is more about starting over, starting fresh, especially with a guy that has had mental health issues. It's always nice to go somewhere that is not a regular occurrence all the time. You always think about what could have happened, what did happen, and what maybe will happen. So starting off in a new city and a new organization, I think on the mental health side, is a fantastic way for Shillington to pursue his career going forward. That comes from TJ in Cranston. I think there's a lot of truth to that. Sometimes when you've gone through a really traumatic stretch in your life, that change of scenery is important too. I think that could have been factored into this conversation as well. Look, I understand why some Flames fans are like, well, hold on a second. You said you wanted to re-sign. You said you were so grateful. You want to be back. And this is the way it goes. What gives? I understand that. But I think the Flames handled this really, I think from a team standpoint, they handled this in their best interests, and I thought negotiated in good faith. And I don't believe that the Shillington camp negotiated in bad faith. They felt like they tried to chase something that they thought was best for the client. It didn't come to pass, and now he's staying in the Western Conference and heading to Colorado. It was just an unexpected. I guess what I would say was, like, we were hearing rumors of, hey, you know, we think Shillington might sign here in the next few weeks as he was coming back and as that comeback story was playing itself out. There would always be like, ah, you know, it wouldn't be a surprise if Shillington signs here in the next couple of weeks, you know, whether it be Ryan or me or other people who, you know, you check in on these things, you're hearing these things, and it kept on getting kicked down the road. I guess at no point through February, March, April, May, June, at no point did I ever feel like this wasn't
right.
going to get done.
Right.
And yet it didn't. So it still was a bizarre saga, even though I don't feel like anybody did anything wrong.
Let me ask you this. Do you think this discourse of, oh, he's getting booed, comes from the fact that we all felt like it was just going to get done and there was no hint ever really of, oh, this might not get done until free agency opens, mm-hmm. Jake Bean signed, Oliver Shillington isn't? Like, do you think that factors into the, oh, he didn't want to be here narrative? Because I don't believe that he didn't necessarily want to be here. But if I'm me personally, and you know I'm the contractor side of things, where if I have an opportunity for what I think is going to be more job security and more money, that's something I've got to explore. And again, didn't happen. And you deal with that as it comes. But to me, I feel like this, oh, he's getting, oh, he never wanted to be here. No, he's just saying the right things. I don't believe that. I believe something fell through that was supposed to be better, that by the time he was able to come back to the Flames, they had already done their business.
Yeah,
they filled that spot.
I tend to agree with you as well. I guess I don't, as much as the story and the journey of Oliver over the last couple of years was a really difficult one, and the way the Flames handled it. And by the way, I don't think the Flames should ever have changed a thing the way they handled it, whether it went the way it has ended up going or whether he ended up signing back here. Regardless, I think the Flames handled it with check marks along the way. Everything they did, I think not only did they do things right, but I think they set a blueprint for other teams in pro sports and in how to handle really delicate situations like this. I think they deserve a ton of credit for how they went about their business in working with Oliver. But I do understand if you're a Flames fan, hearing a guy say, I'm grateful, I want to be back, and then it kind of goes the way it goes. I understand being a little bit like, what gives? Or feeling a little jilted as a fan. I don't think you're out of bounds feeling that way if you're a Flames fan. Doesn't make Oliver a bad person. Doesn't make the agent negotiating a bad faith. None of that's true. But I can understand if you're a Flames fan, you want guys who are wanting to be on your team. So if a guy doesn't want to be there, especially after saying he does want to be there, you're kind of like, okay, then let's move on. And we're going to be happy that we went out and got somebody that does want to be here. I don't think that you're off base in feeling that way, regardless of how feel good the Shillington story was, which it absolutely was. I still think that's my moment of last season was
100%
Shillington coming back.
Him on the blue line for that anthem certainly was number one for me.
Yeah.
When he scored, right? Like he had that big sort of smile, did he not? I'm remembering that. Yeah. Like the first goal he came back and scored. Like to me, that was almost as good as seeing him on the blue line for that anthem.
Yeah. I just remember watching him leave the ice in morning skate before the scratches. And they're like, oh, he's playing tonight. And I just remember watching because I had a pretty good inkling he was going to play that night against Columbus. So I'm like, I'll just stay and wait a little bit more on morning skate just to confirm that he's coming off the ice before the extras. And he did. You're like, okay, he's in. And that was a neat moment. There's no doubt about it. So that's kind of what we missed. Dustin Wolf signed. Oliver Shillington signs in Colorado. It's a little bit different than the last couple of years when Flames talk has gone on hiatus. When the 1 year, 2 years ago.
Well, two years ago.
Huberdeau signed and Shillington signed and Mangiapane signed. And there was nonstop news while we were on hiatus 2 years ago. Last year, there was a little bit that was happening. But this year, pretty quiet while Flames talk took its 1 month hiatus. It's good to be back. It's good to be back with you.
Really nice of Craig Conroy to hit pause on all the things he's working on just so you can get back.
And then the day we're back, he signs Klapka and Kuznetsov.
There you go.
Attaboy, Conroy.
Not a coincidence.
Hey, Rogers Charity Classic is coming back to Canyon Meadows this weekend. Since 2013, over $112 million have been raised for children in need across Alberta. This year, it's Rogers Birdies for Kids that's going to distribute all of this money to different charities in Alberta. And part of that is the Rogers Legends of Hockey, which is coming back on Saturday, co-hosted by Ron McLean and Kelly Rudy. They're doing a closest to the pin format, competing for $250,000 benefiting Rogers Birdies for Kids. We're going to be out there live on location on Saturday from 4 till 6. We'll be bringing some of the celebrities on, like Dustin Wolf, like Travis Konecny, Stuart Skinner, like there, Megan Mickelson, Jada Hefford. Like there are all kinds of names involved with this Legends of Hockey event on Saturday. Come on down to Canyon Meadows. Check it out. More information, go to RogersCharityClassic.com. One more time, RogersCharityClassic.com.
Flames Talk is live on Calgary's Hockey Station, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Our welcome back edition of Flames Talk rolls on this Monday. Steinberg and Aaron Vickers along with you. A couple of moves made on this Monday. Craig Conroy just waited until Flames Talk returned to drop a cup. I think that's
classy. Yeah, classy. Yeah,
let's wait. I think Pat's back. I think Vix is back on Monday. Let's just wait. Obviously not, but good timing nonetheless. Adam Klapka, 1 year, two-way deal, $775,000 for the RFA forward. Exact same contract terms for RFA defenseman Yan Kuznetsov, so a couple more RFAs off the board. We talked extensively about Dustin Wolf earlier this hour. contracts or whatever, set and forget, copy and paste. Like those were the contracts you don't love or hate, a one-year deal for an RFA. I'm just more interested as to where these guys factor in for the coming season. Klapka, who got his feet wet with six NHL games last season, scored his first goal as part of that. Kuznetsov played just the one game at the NHL level. Both guys were really important pieces of the Wranglers team that made it into the postseason and you know, gave Coachella Valley a pretty good run in the postseason. Where do Klapka and Kuznetsov factor in to start the season? Because I take a look at the roster. I don't know. I the blue line's a little thin, but Kuznetsov seems like he's maybe behind a few names, especially with Parekh now in the fold. And at forward, the signing of Lomberg, the signing of Mantha. I don't know where Klapka fits in. I guess what I would say is young team, lots of room for competition, but not necessarily expecting either of those guys to be on the opening night roster. How's that?
I think that's very fair, and I think we can have this conversation at multiple times throughout the year, because the 12 forwards that will pencil in, or 13 forwards that will pencil in for the Calgary Flames, and we can argue those whenever we'd like, but I imagine there's going to be some turnover with this roster at some point, and that's what you do when you're a retooling or a rebuilding team. There's going to be injury that'll change the complexion of what your roster wants to look like. And in certain situations, it's going to be, well, if player X goes down, player Y is going to be the recall. But if player Q goes down, player Z is going to be the guy that needs to come up to fill that role. So in looking at the way the Calgary Flames are built today, I think there's a conversation, not just with Klapka, but Klapka's of top of mind right now because of the contract. But is Jacob Pelche on this roster? Where does Matt Coronato fit? Yep. How about Walker Duehr and Dryden Hunt? Are these names that Klapka has to surpass in order to get a fourth line role or be the 13th forward? I think there's certain depth built in that bottom nine that certain players are going to have to, I look at Matt Coronato, for example. To me, he needs to take a top nine job. Yeah. Adam Klapka doesn't need to take a top nine job. He needs to take a fourth line role. So in building out sort of the depth charts for the forwards, I don't necessarily automatically look at Klapka specifically and go, there's a spot for him on the roster. But to me, there should always be that competition of, all right, if he's going to outplay Dryden Hunt, he gets Dryden Hunt's job. Or if he's going to outplay Walker Duehr, he gets that job. If he's going to beat out Jacob Pelche for a fourth line role, so be it. But as it stands, without injury, without trade, the path for Adam Klapka to be a full-time member of the Calgary Flames this season is a little tricky for me.
What? Same with Kuznetsov. And mainly because I see Solovyov.
Agreed.
I see probably Poirier and maybe Parekh ahead of him on the pecking order.
Don't get Wes fired up.
Wes has got the Rogers Charity Classic to deal with this week. He's not listening. I don't know if there is a path for Kuznetsov to be on the opening night roster. I think he's a really big part of the Wranglers to start the year. And much like Klapka, maybe even more so than Klapka, is in a spot where, okay, left shot defenseman goes down. We need some depth. Maybe you look to a guy like Kuznetsov if he's having a nice season. But I mean, I think the blue line is a little thin in terms
Agreed.
Of, but I think that even still, Kuznetsov's probably a little further down on that depth chart right now.
Well, for me, the Flames have five defensemen that you're probably going to ink in with Bean, Rasmus Anderson, Kevin Ball, Mackenzie Weegar, Danil Miromanov. Yeah. And then what do you do with Hanley? Where does Kuznetsov fit in that? Solovyov, I agree with you. I think
Pahal
is another name that hasn't been mentioned. So all of a sudden, you're stacking up defensemen that, okay, training camp might reveal a little bit to us as to who the next man up is, but I'm not certain that the next man up is going to be the guy that's, okay, are you comfortable with Kuznetsov as being a seven and having your seven slide into the sixth spot, or would you rather a young defenseman like that get time in the AHL? Same with Solovyov. So are you looking at Pahal and Hanley as your 6-7, alternating them as you see fit? And then if and when a defenseman goes down, like say, for example, an offensive type defenseman goes down, okay, is that Jeremy Poirier? And is he back to a point where he can compete? Or are you looking at, again, Ilya Solovyov? It's a sort of a similar situation, similar conversation for Klapka for me, where it's going to need a training camp to immediately determine who the next man up would be. But then once you start playing AHL games, training camp kind of gets pushed back in the rear view and it's more of a, okay, who's the guy over the course of the last 5 or 10 games is the guy that deserves to get this next recall? And so, again, you have healthy competition. You have healthy competition amongst your youth. And we haven't even gotten into some of the other names that have just come into the organization. Maybe they're not quite ready for NHL games yet, but we all know that from April to August, zero games are played, but a lot of the biggest development steps happen when you get back into the gym, when you get back on ice and you go see your skills coach, things of that sort. So we don't necessarily know how the internal depth chart is going to look once we get to training camp, but there's certainly a lot of competition for a guy like Adam Klapka and certainly for Jan Kuznetsov, because the path to playing more NHL games this season can be a little bit tricky at this point.
Uyghur Miromanov as a pairing, probably could see that. Bean Anderson as a pairing, probably could see that. Pahal's the right shot, so Ball Pahal probably could see that. Hanley seems to fit as a good seven.
Kevin Ball's a left shot.
I know.
Oh, I thought you said he was a right shot. My apologies. No, you said Pahal was the right shot. My bad.
They kind of sound Ball Pahal. Pahal is the right shot. Ball
are we going to coin a nickname for that pairing already?
Come on.
Can't even say it right. Pahal?
I think he can probably do better than that.
I think I should not try to do better than that.
I do wonder, like, does a Soloviev have an opportunity to rotate with a guy like Ball?
What does it mean for Joel Hanley in general? If you're starting to have some of these kids nip at your skates.
I don't see Hanley to me as a perfect seven. 33 years old.
Has experience.
But you know he's going to be just fine if he sits for 12, 13 games and then has to come back in. I have no problem with Hanley playing that, you know, Michael Stone type role, which Michael was so good at doing down the stretch there. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. Anyway. Couple more RFAs off the board. They still have Pelche, Soloviev, Schwint is kind of the three names that need to come off the board at restricted free agency. And just like that, our welcome back show's in the books. Like riding a bike, hey?
No rust on Pat Steinberg despite four?
Bit of rust.
I don't know. I don't believe it.
That was good.
Don't believe it.
Like riding a bike. We're here for the next couple of weeks. We'll take that final week of August off and then back after Labor Day for the entire season. That's when we'll kick off our 24-25 edition of Flames Talk. A little limited time engagement for the next couple of weeks. Thanks to Sham. Thanks to Cam. The best in the biz. Good to be back with the boys. Aaron Vickers on Twitter at AA Vickers. And that'll wrap us up on the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. When it comes to your business, knowing your property secure is better than wondering who's getting in. Get peace of mind at CalgaryLockandSafe.com.